Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Good evening and welcome to Good News. This is Deacon Al. I'm here with my 16-year-old cohort, James.
I'm 17.
17-year-old cohort. James aged a year in just a few minutes here. So I 17.
Yep.
Oh, man. And going to be a junior?
I'm going to be a senior.
See, the things we learn about each other as we go along here. I'm still working on last year's information. That's the problem. Yeah, going to be a senior. So college plans yet?
Yeah.
Share your college plans.
A couple. I definitely want a minor in music.
Oh, very good.
I don't know about a major, but I'm definitely not going to major in music.
Are you going to teach, or you're looking for just performance?
Performance. I think if I could do a minor in music, and then if I could major in like computer software or some sort of computer development,
okay,
then I could go and I could work for like say Spotify, Amazon Music.
Oh, there you
something
go.
Like that.
Oh, that would be very
I
cool.
I think that would work.
Interesting a duality there. People who are good in music are normally good with computers. I don't know where the brain connection is, but I know that that's true. I know that even HR people at some major companies, when they're looking for people to work in computers, they're also looking for people who have musical talent.
Yeah, I know. I heard State Farm is giving bonuses or something like
that. I don't know if they're giving bonuses, but I do know that a lot of companies look at pairing people with good music, with musical talent, with computer work. There's some kind of a brain connection there going on. So it sounds like a good marriage for you.
I actually built my own computer without opening the instruction manual. I only asked him two questions.
Really?
I only asked John two questions, the computer expert. But I did ask one of my friends who was really good with computers a lot of questions.
Well, there's nothing wrong with asking for help or using your resources. That's okay. Now, when you build your own saxophone, I'll be really impressed.
Okay.
That, you know, when you can do both, when you can build your own saxophone and
build a couple more tools.
I just got back from a vacation. I was out west visiting my son and my daughter-in-law, who live about 1,400 miles away. And my son has torn down an engine and rebuilt it. Completely torn it down and rebuilt it. He's done it with an internal combustion engine. He's done it with a diesel engine. Can take it apart, especially a broken one, which is already half apart, and he can completely rebuild that engine. Now, that is a skill I cannot do. I have no knowledge of engines, none. And when my son grew up, he had no opportunity in our home to learn about engines. I mean, to me, if my car's not running right, I figure the wheel covers are too tight. That's all I know, right? And here I find out that my son is capable of tearing apart motors and putting them back together. I met some of his friends for whom he's done that with their cars, and he's really good at it. And yet, I'm there to help him do things that I think are really easy that I have trouble believing he didn't know how to do. I mean, he can put an engine together, but to rewire an outlet so that half of it was on a switch and half of it wasn't, or vice versa, to take one that's split and make it whole again so that the whole outlet works, to me, that's pretty common household stuff.
I mean, that's... I feel like that takes some training at least.
My son has no idea how to do that. There was, give you another example. I thought this was really cool. So they've got a new home. The previous owner did not take really top-notch care of this home. They had a really nice stove, the kind that has the griddle top, but the thing was just covered with grease. So one day, while my son was at work, my daughter-in-law was at work, I grabbed the detergents and I went to work on the stove, and I got the stove shining. Stove has a drawer in the bottom, and I open the drawer, and there's griddles for the stove, and they're really nice griddles. Two big cast iron griddles and a smaller one that was aluminum with a Teflon coating. Looks like it's never been used. So I took the two cast iron ones, I sandpapered off a little bit of rust that was there, cleaned them up, got them oiled, got them seasoned, put them back in the drawer. My son gets home from work. He sees the stove. He says, "Wow, Dad, that looks great." And I said, "Yeah. And by the way, now you can fix pancakes or something on the stove." He says, "Yeah, I just need to get some griddles." I said, "Well, why don't you use the griddles you have?" He says, "Well, Dad, I don't have any griddles." I said, "You have three griddles. You have two big cast iron ones. You've got a smaller aluminum one. They cover the entire..." "Dad, I don't have any griddles." I said, "Tom, they're right here." And I pulled the drawer open, and his response was, "I have a drawer?" He didn't even know that his stove, I mean, it's a pretty big drawer at the bottom. I mean, it's a big, deep drawer. He didn't know that was a drawer. Now, to me, having owned a home for decades, different homes, seen different appliances, you can look at an appliance and say, okay, that's got a broiler below or a drawer below, or that's just a faceplate. My son had no idea. So my daughter-in-law gets home from work, and she sees the stove, and my son says, "That's nothing. Look at this." And he pulls the drawer open, and my daughter-in-law goes, "It has a drawer." So he can pull a car apart and put it back together. But there are just some simple, what I consider really basic homeowner stuff that he's completely oblivious to.
So you were in Vegas. Were you in the city or were you outside?
We're in North Vegas. Went into Vegas. Okay. It's just the north. There's actually the city of Vegas, and then there's the town of North Vegas, which is just north of the city of Vegas. And it's kind of like a Bloomington Normal thing. Mm-hmm. You have Henderson to the south and Vegas in the middle and North Vegas on the north.
You do any hiking?
We didn't this time. I went strictly as dad to help him with house stuff and to teach. In the past, he's always rented. So if something broke, you call the landlord and you say, "Come fix it." And like I say, he can fix a car, but he has no idea what to do around the house because this is the first home he's owned. So I was supposed to go a year ago and do the dad stuff because they bought the house 11 months ago. But because of COVID, I was grounded and couldn't go out there. So finally, things got loose enough, got safe enough. We all had our vaccines. I was able to go out there and do the dad thing. So I spent 2 weeks, and we did a ton of projects, just all kinds of tasks. And it kind of – see, this is where the minister in me comes out. All I could think of while I'm doing this was how cool it must have been for Joseph teaching Jesus how to be a carpenter. He's got a son that can do stuff Joseph can't do, can't even imagine being able to do, just like my son can do things. I have no idea where that skill came from. Joseph, I'm sure, was amazed at things Jesus could do and pondered where that power came from. I wonder where my son gets this skill with cars, because that was not part of our household, and yet it's a huge part of his life. But it was so neat to be able to share the things I know with him and teach him, okay, here's how you do this in your house. Here's how you fix this. Here's how you fix that. Here's how you install this. And we did a ton of projects. We built sliding drawers for the pantry. We built a rail on the patio and hung a sunshade to come down and lock onto the rail. We built a table that hangs on the side of his swimming pool that he can lay his phone on and things like that, and set glasses of I'm sure just Gatorade or something on the side of the pool while they enjoy the pool. We did dozens of projects, and it was so fun to be able to share that knowledge with him. And I think how cool it must have been for Joseph to have a son who had so much more skills in other areas and so much more talents than Joseph had. But to know that he also had something he could share with Jesus. And so that was on my mind for the whole 2 weeks was, I wonder if this is how Joseph and Jesus built a relationship together, was by this sharing of this very common knowledge. And I know it brought my son and I closer together. We've always had a good relationship. I should say always. When he was a teenager, one of us was about ready to kill the other. I'm not sure who had the strongest drive for that. But as adults, we've as adults, we've always got along really well. But this was really special. I hadn't seen him in almost 2 years, largely because of COVID, and to be able to just work on these projects together was just very, very special to me. And I kind of felt akin to Joseph and how great that must have felt for him to share his knowledge with his son, Jesus. All right, enough about my trip. I'm back. It's nice to be in cooler climates. We had several days of 114 and 116. And, you know, they'll tell you, you talk to anybody from Vegas, and they have the same line. Yeah, but it's a dry heat. It's a dry heat. Well, my oven is a dry heat.
Yeah.
And I cook pizza and all kinds of things in there without any trouble at all. Dry heat doesn't keep me from baking anything. And at 116, we golfed at 112 degrees. 7 o'clock at night, 112 degrees, and we're out there golfing. It's an amazing place, but I'm super glad to be home.
When I was out there, it was like 50 degrees every day. It was November.
Yeah. They do have cold days. I mean, even though it's a desert, there's times of the year where it can be pretty chilly. I tend to go in the summer only because that's when I have the most free time from liturgical activities going on at the church. So I tend to go in the summer when I go. The day we moved him out there, 116 degrees, the day we moved him out there. He's on a second floor apartment. I'm staring at a U-Haul full of furniture, looking upstairs, looking at the thermometer, thinking, I'm not doing this. I'm not crazy enough to carry stuff upstairs in 116 degrees. But it's a fun place to go. Would not want to live there. My son loves it there. But not something I would do.
Yeah, it's beautiful, Red Rock. And you
Red Rock's great. I've been to Red Rock.
You wonder how a city gets in the middle of that.
Yeah. It's fascinating, really, the history of Vegas.
You drive 10 miles and you're out of Chicago and into the desert.
Yeah. They have a Jeep. They hop in their Jeep on the weekends and go just go out into the wilderness with a couple friends with their Jeeps. And you can just drive out into open country still, where you can just roam around and rock climb and things on your Jeep. And so, yeah, he absolutely loves it there. For me, it's way, way, way too hot. And it has some other things out there that I'm not real crazy about that he's able to ignore and focus on his family and his home. And for them, it works. It's not for me. I love the seasons. I like winter. He's out there because he hates winter. He immediately wanted to go west. I love winter. I think winter is beautiful. I'm not crazy about winter driving, but I like other aspects of winter. So I would miss winter terribly out there. We've talked a lot about Vegas and very little about Christ. So let's get back on track here. We have two readings in the gospel from Ordinary Time from this weekend coming up. We're about almost midway through Ordinary Time. Hard to believe, but we're almost there already. So, James, why don't you lead us off with our first reading from Sunday's Mass?
All right. This is from Amaziah?
Amos.
Amos. Oh, man. I was confused for a second. Amaziah, priest of Bethel, said to Amos, "Off with you, visionary! Flee to the land of Judah. There earn your bread by prophesying, but never again prophesy in Bethel, for it's the king's sanctuary and a royal temple." Amos said to Amaziah, "I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores. The Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to the people of Israel.'"
Let's stop there before we go into the second reading. That's kind of an unusual reading. What questions do you have about that?
It is an unusual reading. So, who is this?
Who is this guy?
I know. I've never heard of him, or at least I don't remember it.
Yeah, so Amaziah is the high priest of Bethel. Bethel is a major city. It's the home of the king of that area and of Judah, which is the land south of Jerusalem. And they have a problem going on here in that these are originally settled by tribes of Israel, some of the tribes of Israel, but they quickly fell into mixed marriages and pagan worship. They've kind of forgot about the God of Abraham, and now they're really into pagan worship, and they also really worship the king. He's very powerful here because this is his city. And when he talks about the temple, this is the temple of the king, not God's temple. This is the temple of the king. So this is where the king is God in this town. And the God of Abraham has been pretty much forgotten by his people. So God sends the Holy Spirit to Amos, his prophet, and says, go in there and tell them that they've gone wrong. They need to return to me. And what happens is that Amaziah, the high priest, says, we don't want to hear this. You need to leave and not come back. You have no business here because this is a secular city. This is the king's city. This has nothing to do with God. You need to leave here. You have no business here. And it's you hear this as part of a Sunday Mass, and you think, what in the world does this have to do with us today? Well, it has a lot to do, because what you have here is a politician telling religion, you have no purpose here. You shouldn't be talking to us about what you believe. You shouldn't be mixing your religion in with our politics. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of that going on today still, where we have politicians or political parties or political factions trying to remove religion, saying you have no purpose here. And that's not true. It wasn't true in Amos's time. It's not true in our time. Because what politics lacks is morals, is ethics. They're saying that we determine, our king, we determine our own ethics. We determine our own morals. We determine what is true. And Amos is saying there's a greater truth. There's a greater moral force. There's a greater ethical force than you. And you can still do your political thing, but you need to do it in the context of this greater truth. And that's what the church is still saying today. You still have politics and politicians and political factions trying to remove religion, remove God, remove faith. And the church is still at battle, just as Amos was, saying, no, we have a place here. We have a purpose here. Because we keep you in the right direction. You can still make your laws, but as you make those laws, you have to be considering the real truth and not just your truth. You have to be thinking about the greater truth and the greater good and the greater moral, the greater moral force. So our reading today, our first reading today, is reminding us that God's place in the world is everywhere in the world. There is no place where he doesn't belong. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So that's why we have that reading. Because a lot of people would look at that and say, well, that's fine for back then, but what does that have to do with us today? And everything in Scripture has to do with our lives today.
Okay.
Okay? Second reading is, once again, we're hearing from Paul, letter to the Ephesians.
Letter to the Ephesians. All right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blemish before him. In love he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace, that he granted us in the beloved in him. We have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us, and all wisdom and insight he has made known to us, the mystery of his will in accord with his favor that he set forth in him as a plan for the fulfillment of times. To sum up all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth, in him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory. We who first hoped in Christ, in him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the first installment of our inheritance towards redemption as God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Okay, completely different kind of reading than our first one.
Yeah, I don't love those readings. I don't like the second reading that much. It's not that it's the Word of God, and I love the Word of God, but it's I don't like the way it's told. I like the ones that are more of like a story.
Okay.
More story-like.
More yes. story-like, more like last more of a parable, like last week's yeah. readings. Yeah. And this is very different than last week's readings. This really is more of a prayer. This is mm-hmm. this is Paul's Paul is sharing this prayer of adoration for Christ with his audience. And it's an important prayer. And when you compare it to our first reading, so here in the first reading you have this priest telling Amos to leave, that our king is more important than your God. And here what you have is Paul explaining to the people the real power and glory of God, and telling through Christ, and telling about how wonderful Christ is and why he deserves their adoration. So in the first one, we have God being thrown out, and in the second one, we have Paul a thousand years or more later saying, God still loves us so much that he sent Christ, and here's who Christ is, so you can understand him better. So he's talking about him being the Son of God, that he loves us, that he's here to redeem us, that he's here to help us, he's here to give us wisdom, that accepting Christ is a good thing, that it's a benefit to us and not something that should be rejected. So you're right, it's not really a parable, it's much more of a prayer of adoration, but that's okay. Parts of Scripture are song, parts of Scripture are poetry, parts of Scripture are stories, parts of Scripture are prayer. So it's not just all one thing. And the reason is, you, for instance, you like the parables. You like the storytelling. There are other people who find greater meaning in the poetry, or greater meaning in the songs, or greater meanings in the prayers. So it's not, the Scriptures aren't written to affect or to engage just one kind of person or one kind of taste. It's written to allow people of different tastes and different points in their faith life to find value in the message. So right now in your life, this particular reading might not be that enjoyable for you. But at another time in your life, this might make a lot more sense or have a lot more meaning because of where you are in your life. Maybe you won't need that parable. You'll say, you know, I understand that story, I've accepted that. But maybe you're having a hard time, someone in their life is having a hard time understanding who Christ really is. They can turn to readings like this and get a very impassioned explanation of who Jesus is and of Jesus' love for us and of Jesus' value in our lives.
Okay.
So different scriptures for different folks at different stages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now we still have our gospel, but we also have some folks who want to talk to us during our break. So we're going to let John flip the magic switch. We'll be back with more good news in just a few minutes.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
And welcome back to Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio. Before we move on to our gospel, I want to send an invitation out to teenagers in our listening area. If you're in the Bloomington Normal area and you're a high school student, we're having a picnic at Historic St. Patrick's Church, sponsored by Historic St. Patrick's and Holy Trinity Church, as a kickoff for their new teen program. They're going to start a Catholic teen program for teens that is led by teenagers. And we would love for you to come out and find more information about it while we share some hot dogs and hamburgers, some music, some guest speakers. And that will be on Sunday, July 11th at 5 p.m. at Historic St. Patrick's Church on West Locust Street in Bloomington. And so we hope you'll come join us there. Hope to meet you when you come out and to become part of our new Catholic teenage group that is beginning. So we've listened to our first reading from the prophet Amos. We've got our second reading, Paul to the Ephesians. And now our gospel reading is from Mark, and it goes like this. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The gospel of the Lord. So, questions about gospel, about our gospel, James.
Why does he have them shake their sandals off?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a huge insult to the people that they're leaving behind. They're saying that I am so through with you. I don't want to carry a memory of you with me. I don't even want to take the dust from your ground with me. So I want nothing more to do. I want nothing to do with you. And so I'm going to leave as if I have never even been here.
Kind of petty.
Not really kind of petty, kind of powerful. Kind of saying, I've come here with really good news for you. I've come here to help you. I mean, they didn't come there to preach. They came to heal. They came to help these people, to drive out demons, to heal their sick. They came there with no request for anything. They didn't come to ask for anything but to help. And if the people didn't want help, wanted to turn them away from that, they said, "Fine, so I'm leaving, and I'm not even taking the dirt from your floor with me. So I'm taking nothing from you. I came only to give, and I'm taking nothing from you, not even the dirt of your ground. So it's as if I never came. It's as if I was never here." Now, that's not saying they won't go back or that they dislike them. Just saying, I only came to help. I'm not taking anything away from you, not even the dirt. But it's also saying that I don't even want to take a memory of you with me. I'm not even taking your dust with me. And I'm going to go find someone who wants our help, who needs our help and wants our help. So it's a kind of an insult, and it's also kind of a way of showing that we came here to do no harm, to take nothing from you. We only came to give, and you've refused that gift, so we're leaving. So that was the reason for the dust. But what I love about this reading is in the beginning of it, when he sends them out two by two. Of course, a reference to
the ark,
Noah's Ark, where he brought them on two by two. But Noah's Ark is a reference to something else. I think it's something that a lot of people miss, and it's missed in this reading as well. Throughout Scripture, we see references to marriage. The family, starting with marriage, is the core of Christianity. And we see a foreshadowing of this through so many parts. From Genesis on, we see things, we see references to marriage. And this part of sending people out in pairs to help is a reference to marriage. God sends us out two by two through the sacrament of marriage to heal the world, to heal our homes, to heal our community. That's what marriage is really about. It's this healing effort from Christ. So I love every time I can find a hint about marriage in Scripture that really stands out to me. And I suppose it's because of the importance the esteem I hold my own marriage in. And in fact, I have to say happy anniversary, because at the moment that this show is airing, my wife and I are celebrating our 42nd wedding anniversary. So I found it really neat that there was a reference to marriage in our reading. This goes so fast. 30 minutes goes really, really fast. We've covered a lot of ground. James, I thank you for your great questions.
Thank you.
I really enjoy them. You have a lot of, it's nice to see somebody look at these readings and really come up with questions that are important to them, and I hope we answer them. And if you who are listening have questions about Scripture that you would like answered, we ask that you email us at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org, and we'd be glad to answer your questions on the air as well.
Exactly. I can't think of everyone's questions all by myself.
That's right. James does really good, but he'd also like some help coming up with more questions.
I try to do about three per for every first reading, one for the others, but I can't do 100, okay? I need some emails.
So help this young man out. We're begging you. This is our appeal. Sometimes we're asking for funds to help keep the station on the air. And now we're asking, we've got an appeal for questions so that we don't exhaust James. We appreciate you being here. We look forward to speaking with you every Saturday and Sunday night on Catholic Spirit Radio. In the meantime, may God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.